Hello again, your coach David Creel with my friend from down under, Paul Joy, the artist and the wizard with the pen, Paul Joy. What's up, Paul? How are you?
Hello, everybody. Hello, David. I'm doing well, thank you. That's some very kind words that you've launched in with there. I'm tuning in from Australia. It's gee whiz, whatever day it is. It's Monday morning, and we are hot and muggy here at the moment.
Okay, well, boys and girls, if you don't know, it's Sunday afternoon on the 16th at 4 p.m. for me in Texas, and it's Monday morning for Paul. And correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it flipped? Like whenever it's winter here, it's summer there, and when it's summer there, it's winter here.
That's right. Yeah. So we're in the middle of summer.
Okay. So we're in the middle of winter over here in America. So thanks for coming on with me. And what would make this an extraordinary conversation?
Well, a little bit of background, just briefly. For us, it's the beginning of the year. And for me, I'm a school chaplain. I work in a school. And so our big break happens sort of over Christmas. So that's, and we get started at the end of January and we launch into our school year 2022. So I'm at a really wonderful place in that I get to lay out the year ahead. And what happens to me on a personal level is we get a really good break over January and then we're into it. And when we're into it at school, we are like really racing hard. And in the lead up to going back to school, which is, you know, to be fair, it's still about a week and a half away, I grow in anxiety as I head towards it because I think about all the things I could have done or should have done in terms of preparation and planning and laying it out. And so I'm beginning to feel like there's a lot of things on my plate that I want to kind of sift my way through and sort out so that I can begin the school year clean, neat and tidy and ready to roll. So it's a little bit about organization, a little bit about ticking some things off a list. And I think what would make this extraordinary is if I had a plan to tackle the two or three or four big projects that are kind of, they're just kind of sitting on my shoulders, looming, and I just need to find in the midst of still enjoying some holiday time and still caring for my family and having fun with the kids and whatever while we've still got some break to also get these things done before we start back at school.
Okay, so when you say you're overwhelmed, what's bringing on the sense of overwhelm?
Deadlines and a sense of responsibility. I have to deliver. And so that combination of feeling like running out of time, where there's a hard deadline where I've committed to A, B, and C, and effectively for some of them, I have to deliver. For others, I have to present, like I'll be on stage, I'll be there, I'll be delivering. And just the anxiety of doing the work so that on the day I need to deliver or hand something in or that I'll be ready, but I'll be done.
And how many years have you had similar responsibilities?
At least 10 years.
Okay. And do you always have the same sense of overwhelm every year for the previous 10?
Yes. My wife would say I'm very challenging to live with in the last couple of days leading up to school going back because, I get to this, it's frustrating. I get to the same point each time where I go, oh, I should have done this, should have done that, I haven't quite done that. However, I'm also committed to not just working throughout the whole of my what we call holidays, you might call vacation, because I need to be refreshed. I need to be refilled and spend time with family and so forth. And so it's that balance between, I know I'll be better once we get going, having had a good break, but I also have responsibility that there are certain things I've committed to that need to get done. And I also am aware that once I get them done, I feel so much better. Like, you know, you tick that thing off your list and this is much better. So yes, it's a few influences and feelings all flying around all over the place, all at the same time.
Do you have a sense of overwhelm because you think you have to do all this by yourself?
Yes, I think I do. I think I'm responsible. Now, they're probably not huge things on anybody else's scale, but they are for me. So they're important things to me. And I am the person who needs to, you know, like you mentioned before, draw the pictures because I've got a deadline for those, or I'm the person who needs to stand up and present because they're looking to me because that's the role I play and that's what I need to do. So, I do feel it's me.
Do you have a team or are you actually by yourself?
Actually by myself.
Can you, whatever, say you have to present something, is it something where you can do a little bit each day and then when the lights are on, it's ready to go? Or is it best to set aside a big, huge, you know, 4, 6, 8 hour block of time to get it done until showtime?
That's a good question. I would say I work best when I'm preparing. So effectively my speaking, it's our staff commencement service. So we begin the year. I'm the first person to address all of our staff when they walk in the door on day one. No students are there yet. I get to run a service, a chapel service. And so I want to, you know, obviously launch well. I have found, and over the next 5 days, once school starts, I will speak to probably 7 different audiences, 7 different groups of students in terms of, you know, the year 12s, which are our senior students. I'll then address our year 9s, which are, you know, our middle school. So I have lots of speaking gigs in those beginning days, but the staff one is the one that's more urgent because it's sooner and I want to get that right. And my process is get the seed of an idea and let it germinate, let it evolve, let it grow, and as I read different things, there's a great idea, and bring that in, and gradually over time. And I've started to work towards that, but I need to probably get a whole lot of those collection of thoughts and ideas, and I haven't mapped anything out on paper. Often my process would be a larger piece of paper and just like a brainstorm, and I have not even done that. And I know I would feel better if I did that. And that's probably an hour's worth of work, just going right, boom, 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 boom. And then I feel better already, even saying it, it seems so easy. Once I've got it on paper, then I know I'm not going to forget it. And that would make me feel better.
So why have you not done that yet?
It's getting hot in here.
It tends to happen. So look, here's what I'm saying.
Why have I not done it?
Here's my point. What's the smallest possible step you can take today that will alleviate some of the discomfort or feeling of overwhelm? And you can, like you said, you can do it and be done with it, and it only take you an hour. And then you can back off and you can kind of put some ideas on paper so you don't forget them, so you don't feel like you're overwhelmed.
Yeah, there's probably two things I think based on your questioning that would be helpful. One would be to come up with a list of things that are kind of due in the next 10 days, for example, so that I get that out of my head. And the second would be get my large piece of board, my large piece of paper, and just to start scattering the ideas for my presentation, for my talk, just get it out of here and onto the paper. They would be two things that I know would be helpful.
Sounds good to me. So what I'm thinking is, you know, whenever the kids come back and you're going to do, you said about seven talks to the different classes, you don't need to worry about the seventh talk when you've got the one for your teachers and the other six first, because they're going to be kind of similar. They're not going to be the exact same speech, I assume, correct? I mean, because you can't talk to seniors the way you can talk to, you know, fifth graders. They're totally different people, right? You know, but you got to think of it like a, I heard Brian Tracy say, whenever you're giving a speech, you know, are you familiar with an accordion, the musical instrument?
Yeah.
Okay. So where your hands go and you push the buttons or however you play the accordion, those are like your bookends, where you know you're going to have your opening and you know you're going to have your closing. And the middle bit, the middle part, is like the accordion where it can move, or it, you can adjust that. If you have your, the first of your, you know, the first, say, 2 or 3 minutes, I'm going to say this. And then at the end, to close it, I'm going to say this. Then in the middle, you can play. You might feel like you need to land on one point a little bit longer or drive it home more. But you know you've got your beginning of your speech and your end of your speech bookend where they're not going to move. They're your pillars. And you play in the middle.
I haven't heard that, but I like that a lot. That's really good. And in fact, that would be, without having thought of that before, that's a really good way to look at what I do. As long as I know my beginning and my end, the bit in the middle is fluid. It's a bit flexible. I like that a lot. Who did you say? Brian Tracy said that.
Brian Tracy. Because, I mean, with you, with being the school chaplain, you pretty much know you're going to have 30 minutes or whatever you have to speak. But what if they tell you, hey, we had somebody else come in and they've got to speak too. You've only got now 20 minutes. So you know your beginning and you know your end, and in the middle you can play. You can take this point out, or you can take this point out, or you can condense them to where you can take a 30 minute. Now, if they say you've got 6 minutes, friend, you have 30, that's going to be difficult. But if you have 30 minutes and you actually have 40 minutes, well, then you could play a little bit longer in the middle. And if it comes down to the time you're watching the clock and you know you've got 4 minutes left, land the plane, go right to the closing, because you know exactly what you're going to say, which takes the pressure off of both.
Yeah.
Because your bookends, you know, in the first of it, you want to maybe start with a question, or you want to have a hook or whatever to get them interested. And, you know, like I heard Zig Ziglar say, there's three speeches you give: the one you plan to give, the one you give, and the one you wish you would have gave when you gave the one you gave, you know?
Yeah.
But I think could it be that the overwhelm is coming because you've set the bar high over the last few years and you don't want to disappoint the people?
100%. Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So I think how my brain works is, like, whenever I used to have a speech in class, or I would write a paper, I would not write a thing until the night before, but I would think about it for 2 or 3 months. And whenever I sat down, I would type it, edit it, you know, correct it for grammar mistakes, the whole deal, I'd write the whole thing in an hour. But I thought about it for 3.5 months. You know, a better plan, which is what you said, in my opinion, is if you can find before in the next week, week and a half before you go back, if you could spend, what if you spent an hour every couple of days? That'd still give you plenty of time to be with your family on holiday, which you definitely deserve. But then it wouldn't be 2 days before the event and you have nothing on paper.
Mm.
You know, you could just, okay, so you do your mind map or whatever, your brainstorm session. Then you said, rightfully, that's one thing you can stop worrying about. You know, because you probably have a pretty good idea of what you're going to say already. But then if you write it down, you know you won't forget it later. You can always take away, but it's hard to add something into your speech while you're giving the speech on the fly. And then it could kind of, you know, if you just say you have 10 tasks that you need to do for this speech, if you knock out just an hour, by the time you get there, you're prepared, you're ready to go, you're calm, relaxed, and then you get up and you deliver a fantastic talk, and then everybody applauds, you know, they throw babies off the balcony, champagne falls from the heavens, and then they, you know, build a statue in front of the building of you.
Yes, you are right. Getting it down on paper, processing it, letting it sit, coming back to it, writing it down again, sitting it aside, and as you say, not feeling guilty, taking an hour here and there, and getting up early is the time when I can do that. It's not taking away from family time, so I can get a little bit of both. That is, I mean, it sounds, and it is, it's actually not that, it's quite a simple idea. It's hard to do, but it's a simple concept, but it's a good one, and it's almost clearly that's the answer. I love the accordion idea. Getting those bookends right, that is a beautiful, helpful analogy for me to keep tinkering with and playing with. I appreciate that. That's really great.
Okay, so I think we're at a stopping point. You came up with your own answer, and it's a simple step that'll lead to you not being overwhelmed when, yes, you may have 8 or 10 or 12 things to do, but you can't do 8 or 10 or 12 things at the same time. If you just take one off, now you don't have to worry about it anymore. It's done. And then, oh, I like this bit here, and I like this bit here, and I like this bit here. And then it starts, you know, it's like a funnel. You have put everything in the funnel, everything comes down the funnel, and then what's left is what you have, you know?
Yeah.
But then you won't be so anxious, overwhelmed, because you've done the work, you know. And then one thing I would suggest is before you get up and give your first talk to the teachers, mentally rehearse you giving the speech and how you think it's going to go and how they're going to receive it. That way, when you stand up to do it, when the lights are on, this isn't the first time you've done it. This is the second or third or fourth time you've done it. And it's okay. I've done this 3 or 4 other times. No problem. The audience loved it. And I'm going to sit down and I'm going to kill this thing.
Yep. Yep. I appreciate that. I think that is a very helpful tool just to kind of think it through, plan it through, almost visualize yourself in the motion and how well it's received. That is a good part of the process.
And another thing I'd suggest too, which I used to do this as well, if you're worried about time, say you've got 30 minutes. I have no idea. I'm just saying, say you have 30 minutes on your iPhone or Android phone or whatever phone you have, there's a voice memo app on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So what you could do is whenever you get your speech where you're pretty much certain about what it's going to be, hit record and give your talk even to the mirror. And then look at your phone when you get done and you'll see how long it is. If you only have 30 minutes and you've gone 47 minutes, that's not going to work. You've got to trim some stuff. But you also have to remember, too, for the most part, say you have 30 minutes and you do your voice memo on your phone and you just walk around giving the speech like you were going to give it in front of them. If it's, you know, 33, 35 minutes, you're going to speak a little bit faster in front of the crowd than you are to yourself in front of the mirror. But if it's only 25 minutes, it's going to probably be closer to 22 to 23 minutes. So you might have, oh, I've got plenty of space. I didn't think I could, I cut this part out because I didn't think I had enough time. I've got plenty of time, no problem. And that way you can time yourself. And that goes back to the mental rehearsing of whenever you stand up and the lights are on and it's showtime, it's not the first time you've given the speech.
Yeah, that's helpful. That's good. And for me, I mean, there's some fundamentals that are helpful to be reminded of. Which in the overwhelm and overwhelm that I'm putting on myself, you can forget those simple steps that are really, really useful and helpful and work. So I've jotted a few of those down because they're good to remember. So I appreciate that too. That's good. That's really good.
And remember this too. The only way you can become overwhelmed is if you're comparing yourself to someone or something else.
So beware of comparison.
Yeah, because when you're comparing yourself to other people, it robs your joy.
Yeah, yeah. Great. Thank you. I guess my takeaway, my go and put it into action is one, I'm going to make a list of the things that need to be done. Then I'm going to get my large piece of brainstorm paper and just get my ideas down. And I'm going to do both of those things today. I know already I'm going to feel better about that. And then I like the idea of every couple of days, just spend an hour, just put an hour aside to just keep, you know, stewing on the ideas that are there. Eventually I get to start putting some sentences together. I don't handwrite it all out. I don't type it all out, but I've got my bookends. Bookends are great. I love the bookend idea. I'm going to know my beginning. I'm going to know my end and plenty of playtime in between. That helps me a lot. I like the idea of doing a voice recorder, get an idea of timing. And just playing and practicing the stories effectively and being able to play and you know, dance them around to each other a little bit is helpful as well. That's good. I appreciate it. I feel I have a pathway to move forward, which is awesome.
Awesome. Thanks for playing. Have a great
one. Good on you. Thank you very much.